This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front-runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10. For you and three of your friends, now you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh,
to Applebee's?
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question, Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast.
Well, aren't we nasty today?
I want to see cats!
You guys wouldn't mind having a couple of extra fans.
Imagine if this was the first thing a person knew about you, is that you thought this was funny and good.
Yeah, and you like came here for a devotional.
Right.
You got me straight crippling.
Yeah, baby. Woo!
Banana.
Nice.
So there we used to have had a sponsor named Fracture.
Yeah.
Caroline used her Fracture code to get what printed out.
You know what's so sad is I waited too long to even use my Fracture code, so I paid full price. But I did print a beautiful meme that I love on a piece of glass, and I have in my home now.
A thick minion,
a female minion.
Two C's.
Bursting out of her overalls.
We should prop it up.
Some just sort to of set Lola
the
Bunny
tone of this. Yeah, that's right.
And it says it's not a competition, bitch. Still winning though.
Which does embody your thing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have good Christian fun. And it's not a competition, but if it was, we're losing.
We're still losing though.
I don't know. We've got to look at that HeadGum doc again, see where we're at.
Yeah, we saw some rankings.
What do you think? Do you think we have more listeners than the show hosted by a Netflix star?
Yeah.
She said confidently and not insecurely. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, Christian music, movies, entertainment stuff made by for Christians. But this is the thing I forgot to say the last couple episodes. We're Christians.
Yeah.
With that noise. But we're not here to make you go to church or proselytize to you or preach to you. We're just here to have fun. We're not here to bash your beliefs either.
No, beliefs are good.
Yeah.
Keep them.
Unless you're an atheist who's like, oh, thank nothing for the food, you know? That's dumb.
Rub-a-dub-dub. Thanks for the grub, nobody.
Black void. Oh, boy. But it's good Christian fun. Here's what I'm nervous about going into this episode. I'm not nervous about our guests. I'm not nervous about the fun
new segment we have coming up.
Yeah.
Later on in the second half of the show. What I don't know, though, is this segment that we're about to do right now. So for the first time ever, Caroline said, Kevin, I have a segment. Here's the bumper for it to play beforehand, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. So I don't know, but here, should I play or do you want to tee it up?
No, just play it.
Play the bumper?
Yeah, I've got it all worked out.
You don't want to say, this is blah, 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 blah.
I'll get there.
Okay, so I just play a bumper sans context.
Play a bumper.
Okay.
Swonderful.
Swonderful.
Smarvelous.
Smarvelous.
Welcome to a new segment on the show called Smarvelous, my special secular corner where I get to talk about Marvel movies real quick, and Kevin supports me 100%. Today's topic, putting the oh no in Thanos. When we last
this
saw...
is... Okay, good.
When we last saw our brave heroes, half of them had been disintegrated into a powdery ash by the cruel population control enthusiast, Thanos.
He's an enthusiast.
Leaving the fans to wonder how our sweet supernatural boys and girls of the Avengers would fight back. Internet newspaper Vox has reported that there is an important and highly probable fan theory for how Thanos will be defeated in... in the final 3-hour-long chapter of the Infinity War story. Is it that Captain Marvel will join the squad and glow him away in some final battle? Will he die from a sharp cut from Captain America's jawline? Or an even sharper okay. cut from Tony Stark's infamous wit? No! MCU fans have pooled their knowledge and surmise that Thanos will meet the bitter end when Ant-Man crawls up his. Ant-Man, with the ability to shrink and grow in magic school bus-like proportion, will 1. become microscopic.
Mm-hmm.
2. Crawl his way directly into Thanos's purple encrusted asshole. And 3. Expand bigger.
Crusted?
Expand bigger than my waistline at Thanksgiving dinner. Thanos will then explode butt first into the all known universes and order will be restored. I ask the listeners, have you ever heard a more poetic and justified end to a murderous, eternally sad villain?
Yes.
Perhaps it can only be rivaled by Judas's tragic hanging in the Potter's Field. Though I would argue that even that story could have used more butthole. I look forward to all 3 hours of the upcoming film, and I, for one, hope that at least one of those hours will chart the journey from butt to bust. I will now briefly allow any thoughts my co-host Kevin may have on today's news.
Well, I guess I'll say I know this is one of the only things we've been DMing each other about the last few days, so I'm glad like it's been on both of our radars. And I for one is a great phrase. I for one am happy that you're embracing the truest part of yourself, which is this. This is you. Like this is you saying, I'm Caroline, no apologies. Don't hate me because you ain't me. And I'm proud of you for doing this.
Thanks, everyone. I'll be back next time. I have some marvelous thoughts.
Swonderful.
Swonderful.
Oh my God.
Smarvelous.
Smarvelous.
Do you think the Russo brothers heard this podcast? They're like, you know what? We can make this longer for Caroline.
They were like, we're going to have to refilm a lot.
The Endgame movie. As this episode's coming out, it comes out in like 2 weeks, 2 or 3
yeah,
weeks
I'm
when
really
this episode
jazzed.
Drops.
Yeah.
We'll go see a Dolby, right?
Yeah,
us
we gotta.
Us together, the
we
four of
gotta.
Us, four friends. Yeah.
yeah.
Come on.
Can't
that's
wait.
Always fun.
Yeah.
All right. Wow.
Did you like my new segment?
That was great.
All right,
but
cool.
I think you need to, it needs to happen at least once a month. From now on, or like every time we see a movie, like we do your review of the movie.
Sure. I think there will be plenty of Marvel material at any given time.
I did think about kicking it around for a second service idea, just like the Marvel cast. Like we do the Marvelous Mrs. Ely, and it's just you talking about.
That'd be really great. Yeah, but I don't want to relegate this segment to second service. I think it's a really good money option.
Oh, good. Oh boy. Well, I don't know if our guest is into Marvel movies quite as much as Caroline
she's
is.
She's very patient.
She's been very patient. So I think it's time to finally introduce her, ladies and gentlemen. She is a writer. She's written for Relevant Magazine, and you can check out her podcast, The Protagonistas. Ladies and gentlemen, give it the hell up for Kat Armas! Kat.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Kat.
Thank you.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks for joining us.
That was a wonderful intro. Thank you.
Yes,
I was a little lost, but I was enjoying that.
That's
good. I enjoyed it.
I was trying to hope there was enough backstory if you weren't a Marvel fan that you could gather what was going on.
Well, that's what's so great about the way you talk about these movies is like, it's not even about what happens in the movies. It's your passion for it.
Yes, thank you. Oh, okay, cool.
I'm going to go and watch this.
Really? Because of that?
Have you?
Oh my gosh, if one person goes to see a Marvel movie because of me.
She's crying.
All I needed to make happen.
Whoa!
I'm not crying.
This is like your conversion moment.
Yes.
Have you seen a Marvel movie before?
I have. I've seen Iron Man.
Okay.
That
2008.
One. Yes.
Great.
Wait, all three or just the first one?
I think just the first one.
Wow. It's been a long time.
It's been a
What are you busy?
No, I saw Black Panther. That's Marvel.
Oh, okay. Black Panther. Yes.
Okay. I saw that one.
And we're back.
Oh, Caroline's eyes light up once again. There's hope for you yet, Kat.
I just like the movies. Like, I don't know anything about the comic books. I'm not like versed in the lore at all.
Right.
I just love having a good time with the films.
Right. You take what's given to you.
Exactly.
Kat, thank you so much for joining us on the show. You are maybe one of our first guests that should 1,000% be hosting this show instead of us. In the sense that you are a credentialed person.
Am I? Okay.
Give us a list of your credentials. I know it's embarrassing to brag about yourself, but you have gone to Fuller Seminary.
I'm actually going. Yes, I am currently going to Fuller Seminary.
Do you have, is it the MDiv?
I am doing an MDiv. Yes, I'm almost done.
Okay.
So I finished in June, but I added another degree. So that's...
Which is what?
Just another Master of Theology. Mainly because I wasn't ready to leave, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't ready to leave LA, and I definitely wasn't ready to leave Fuller. So I'm just sort of sticking around.
Just chilling around.
And what's the goal? What's the end game, if you will? with your degrees. What's
Well, I think I want to go continue for a doctorate. I'm pretty set on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, I think that'll be fun. I like to, I don't know, read and do all those kinds of things. So I think that'll be fun.
That'd be cool.
But I want to keep writing. And so that's sort of why I'm working on a few projects right now, which I can't really talk about, but soon. So yeah.
Ooh.
So that's sort of, you know, kind of wherever that goes.
Yeah. For those that may not know, can you describe what Fuller is like real quick or what it is?
Yeah, so Fuller is a seminary in Pasadena, and so part
for
of
now.
Yeah, they're moving. So, and I actually, so part of my coming to Fuller was me leaving a very not so fun, not so diverse seminary. I left another one, and I'll get into that. But yeah, so I came here mainly because Fuller's diverse, just racially and ethnically and all of that, and then also just their kind of empowerment and support of women. So that was sort of my main two things to get over here. And so, yeah, it's a great place. I'm really enjoying it there. Yeah.
Because there's a broad spectrum of people. I think we've talked about a little bit on the show, but I think correct me if I'm wrong, because I probably am. Did both Rob Bell and John Piper go to Fuller?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I recently tweeted
kind of
that.
And like Fuller is known for having that kind of like
that,
crazy
yeah.
amount of balance, which is difficult to do.
Yeah.
And like one of probably a few big seminaries that do allow women to be pastors or like train them to be pastors.
Yeah.
In the
evangelical
world. So I don't know why I'm doing a commercial for Fuller, but I like
it.
Go if you want.
But also, that's the reason I met Nate, because he was living in NorCal, and he came down to Fuller to get his MDiv, actually.
Oh,
and he's still there
now.
So
so we all have a Fuller connection in our life. Kat is going there. Mm-hmm. Caroline's husband went there. And I would glance over at the library from time to time while going into the 24-hour fitness. So we all have like very intimate.
It's the center of our universe.
It shapes our lives. It does shape. I will say, I feel maybe this is like an insular bubble thing, but living in Pasadena, because people always say like, okay, how's Pasadena different from Eagle Rock, different from Burbank, different from Studio City and all the little boroughs of Los Angeles County? And it feels like Pasadena is very much dominated by a lot of Asian American culture, because there's like really good Asian American restaurants and kind of hole in the wall places and fancy places too, because there's so many immigrants here. And then also like a lot of student life as student life from Fuller and Caltech. Mm-hmm. But
and Pasadena City College. Mm-hmm. There's three colleges in this city alone.
Wow, I didn't realize
so
there was
a
lot.
And there's a design school, which is also a college. Hey. So it's very intense.
Well, Kat, what is your history and background with faith and religion stuff? You've talked about it on your own podcast, The Protagonistas, available on iTunes right now.
Yeah.
But just rehash it and pretend you're saying it for the first time right now.
Yeah, and I'll give it our own little good Christian podcast twist. So I actually didn't grow up in the church, right? So I'm Cuban-American. I'm from Miami, which is its own thing. And I grew up mainly, I would say, loosely Roman Catholic, you know, like very culturally Catholic, because that's a big Cuban thing. But I didn't grow up, you know, in the evangelical world. I did, for the first few years of my life, go to a Christian school. And so in that sense, I was very much exposed to like the whole true love waits and like the whole left behind stuff. But it was at a distance. So I would go home and my mom was like, yeah, that's weird and wacky. Don't get involved with that.
You really? So, oh my God.
Yeah.
How many of us would have loved to have a parent like
pretty
that?
Cool.
The parent who is the straight man in your life of like, no, that's some bullshit.
Yeah. I feel like I didn't even have the wherewithal to like tell my mom, like, hey, we learned this today.
Yeah.
She would probably be like, no, go kiss somebody. It's fine.
I feel like your mom would have said that.
Actually, yeah, maybe that is when I remember, because I remember I had a teacher who was pushing courtship pretty hard. And I think I remember telling my mom about that. And she was just like, no.
So, yeah, so you totally get it.
Which was nice. Yeah. But so what ages were you going to that Christian school? Like an evangelical Christian school, right?
Yeah. It was like the first half of elementary school, I would say.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So I do remember, like I was exposed to it. Like I remember that. And it was very much, like I said, like around me. But yeah, I would just kind of go home and then just do my own thing. You know, it wasn't like a very serious thing in my life. And then I ended up, you know, going to high school, Catholic school. And then I sort of, you know, got into that. I really liked like the liturgy and the very ritual aspect of it, because I felt like, cool, I can do this. I can be a part of this, but I can still do my own thing. And like that's sort of how I understood it at that age. And then, you know, went off to college. And around that time, so I was about to graduate from college and I was, you know, in my early 20s. And I loved to party. So that was like one of those things. And I had graduated and I was, I had a really good job as a behavior therapist and I was really young. So I was like, yeah, I'm successful. Life is great. But you know,
this was post-college, right?
Yeah. So this was like right as I graduated with my undergrad. And at that time, you know, as every like young 20-year-old-ish goes through, like there has to be more to life, you know, like that, like
the Stacey Orico moment, we call it. There's gotta be more to life.
Yeah. So yeah, it was just like, oh, you know, like what do I need? I need something more. So one weekend I ended up, you know, going to Key West with my friends for a birthday party. Just had one of those, crazy weekends. I get back and I'm feeling that like, oh, I need something deeper. And it just so happened that 6 months prior, like an ex-boyfriend had like bought me a ticket to a Christian conference, because Miami is not Christian. Like it's very Catholic, but it's not like anywhere in the South where you have like a church on every corner. Yeah, like you know,
Protestant
where
Protestant Christian.
Yeah, it's not like the, you know, everyone's Christian.
And people don't, I think it's hard to understand if you're not from Florida, but Florida is essentially three different states.
Oh my gosh,
too.
Yes.
It's not like Kentucky, where it's like small enough that there's a characteristic kind of shared, but Florida, you could divide up in each one. So Miami is
it's literally
might be the most de-churched out of the regions.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah, so so Miami had just started their own, kind of their first Christian radio station, which was like new, like it wasn't, you know, so a lot of people were sort of getting into the whole, you know, like, oh yeah, this is positive, you know, this is nice. And so I started listening to that radio station on my way to work. And I
just
was like,
just as like something positive in your life.
I was I can start my morning with something positive, you know, one of those things. So I was like, oh, and I remember it was like, oh wait, what's his face? The one that just got in trouble with everything.
Bill Hybels?
Be specific.
Yeah, which one?
Oh my gosh, his name just slipped my mind with the thing with the.
Tony Stark. No, don't you dare.
Wait, was this like a pastor?
Yeah, with the mega church, and he was abusing people spiritually. I mean, oh, that's literally
Mr.
Everybody.
Mark Driscoll.
Mark Driscoll.
Not him. Oh. It was more recent than him. Wow, recent. I totally forgot.
Mr. Mark Driscoll. We're like,
it was more recent than that.
Oh, I'm not going to remember.
Jason with a J? Whatever.
Someone point is. Yelling the name in their car.
Yeah. Yeah. He just, it just came out like a couple weeks ago or a month or so ago, whatever. Anyway, people like him, right? Mm. Francis Chan, those kinds of people. Yeah. And so I was in like a really bad relationship. The guy was like, you know, I'll buy you a ticket. We can find God together. We can go to this conference. And I was like, okay, whatever. You know, I didn't think about it. So like fast forward 6 months.
What a promise. We'll find God together. Oh, man. Definitely listen when a young man tells you that. Yeah.
It was such a hot mess. But like, so fast forward 6 months and I get an email. So I come back from that Key West trip and I'm having like my existential like 20-year-old crisis of like, I need more in my life. And I sign on to my email like at my desk at work and I just see this like Christian conference. And I'm like, should I go? You know, I don't know. Whatever. So I was like, you know what? I'll go. Whatever. Like, it could be a good thing. So I show up. And mind you, this is the first time that I'm exposed to, like, evangelicalism.
Oh, boy.
And I show up. And it's, I mean, I'm waiting in line. I kind of get there early. And it's weird that there was even a, like, I didn't know any of this. And so I kind of, you know, I walk in. And I was by myself. So I sit in the front, like, first row. And all of a sudden, I see, like, thousands of people just, you know, and I'm like, what is this? You know, I'm here thinking a Christian comp, like, it's going to be, you know, a couple weirdos, like, yeah, just kind
of,
you know.
A lot of, like, old people. Yeah. Just, like, a little group. Yeah. Snacks.
Yeah. So it's, like, thousands of people coming in, and then all of a sudden, lights turn off. I mean, then you have, like, the skinny jean, long hair. It was Hillsong. I had no idea who Hillsong was.
Oh, wow.
And they're
so
coming
out like, a supercharged dose.
Supercharged.
World and time.
A shotgun blast of praise and worship in the face.
Oh, my God. Yes. Your front row.
Front row. And then people are rushing to the front.
Yeah. I was going to say, people will kill for front row Hillsong.
Yeah.
I'm imagining it like it's the Dancing in the Dark music video, and you're Courtney Cox. And the Bruce Springsteen equivalent of the Hillsong worship leader brings you up on stage to praise and worship next to him.
That's amazing.
But yeah, it was the weirdest thing. And I'm like, where am I? Like, I thought I had just, you know. And so yeah, they're all, you know, the signs, Jesus, you know, all that stuff. And I'm like, and I remember, I have like this specific memory of me turning around and looking back at like the thousands of people, like arms up, eyes closed, you know, like in worship. And I remember thinking specifically, like, people feel this way about Jesus? Like, it was like a genuine thought, like, you know, like they, like, this is a thing, like they are all in. And I was like, wow, that's interesting, you know? So I'm like, okay, whatever. I sit there the rest of the conference. Then there was like, now looking back, I know who they are, but like Francis Chan and, you know, Christine Kane and all these people talking
big
about
hitters.
Yeah.
I can't believe.
Yeah. And I had no idea.
Yeah.
And so they're talking about do something with your life and do more. And it was exactly, you know, like lined up perfectly with my existential crisis. So I was just like, oh, yes, I need to do something, you know, so one of those. So that weekend was sort of like the push to me, you know, starting my journey, you know. And it's funny because it is like your, like, quintessential salvation experience for, like, you know.
Yeah. Did you get saved when you were there? Did you do an altar call thing?
I didn't do an altar call, but I was just like, okay. And I remember thinking, like, I'll try this. Like, this seems cool. Like, this seems, like, positive. You know, that was, like, my whole thing. Like, it's positive.
Positivity.
You know?
Yes.
So that was, like, my whole thing. I was like, I'll try this. Yeah, okay. But I was like, I don't know any churches in the area. Like, I've never been to one of these churches. So this is actually another weird thing. So I'm walking out and I'm thinking, okay, this is like, it was a 3-day thing. So I had gone back like 3 full days. I mean, looking back, Franklin Graham was there.
Uh-oh.
He was literally one of the speakers.
This is enormous.
This was weird.
Wow.
And like, yeah, it was just the weirdest experience ever. But yeah, so after the third day, I'm leaving and I was like, all right, you know what? I'll do this. Like, I'll try it. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, you know, whatever. And as I'm like thinking this and I'm like sort of walking in my car by myself, I hear like, Kat? And I'm like, I turn around and it is literally my cousin whom I hadn't seen since I was like 5.
What?
Yeah. It's just bizarre.
I wouldn't recognize my cousin if I hadn't seen them since I was 5.
Well, we were Facebook friends. Yeah, we were Facebook friends.
Grow up,
yeah. Well, let me be clear. I wouldn't be Facebook friends with my cousin if I hadn't seen them since I was 5. I don't think I am.
But yeah, and so she was just like, what are you doing here? Because she clearly knew on Facebook that that was not my scene, you know? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, how did you end up here? And I'm like, I honestly don't really know. Like, someone bought me a ticket and I just showed up. And she was like, well, why don't you come to my church? You know, whatever. So I went and then I just was like all in. Like, I was, I mean, 3 months later, I'm going to El Salvador on mission trips. Wow. You know, one of those. Because it was like her church was, you know, Southern Baptist mega church. Like, it was just one of those, you know.
Yes.
So.
And do you feel like they were like pressing that button of like, do you feel empty inside? Oh, or do you feel like you're missing what's out there, and then they have the answer for you right there, right?
Totally.
Yeah, it's was just appealing. Like,
oh, it was exactly what I needed. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you got me. You know, like, I was so empty, you know?
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Yeah. So, and funny story. So after my first, like, quote, mission trip, you know, to El Salvador, I come back, and I had just bought, like, my first car. It was, like, this cute little Kia Optima. Like, it wasn't even, like, this super nice car, you know? It was just, like, a normal, like. And I was so excited that I had bought this car because, you know, I was young and it was like my first car. And I literally come back from El Salvador and I was like, this is too much.
Yeah.
I was like, I shouldn't.
I'm a material girl like Madonna warned me about. No.
Yes. And so I literally.
Two topical references, by the way, Kev.
Yeah, it's almost like I have a disorder.
Music video.
It was Stacia Rigo versus Springsteen. That's my contribution to the conversation.
Big names.
Let's hear yours.
Anyway, keep going, keep going.
So, yeah, I was like, you know, I can't have this car. Like, it's too nice. Like, I need to suffer for Jesus. You know, one of those things.
So, had you been like working with needy people when you were in El Salvador?
Yeah.
I don't know if needy is the right term, but
yeah.
Needy sounds like they text you too much. People in need and like impoverished.
Stage 5 clingers.
What are you doing Friday? I'm busy. But it's the children that you built a school for.
Sorry.
This is inappropriate.
Not nice. But you've been out there like helping people. Yeah. And that's like a real thing because I've heard a lot of people that come back from mission trips and feel like really guilty about their lives because the contrast is really painful. Yeah. Like it's really messed up to go to a place where people are having a hard time finding food and you have like a brand new car and a nice job and like air conditioning, like so many things. It's a real problem.
It really is. Yeah. And that was like in the time of the whole like radical movement and like,
you know, Shane Claiborne stuff. Kinda.
No, it was like more Southern Baptist of like, you know, you just gotta give it all up for Jesus and like,
oh,
you know,
David Platt.
David
stuff.
Platt. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So it was like that, you know, that was like the thing.
Yeah.
So I come back and I'm like, at that point, my mom, she was, I think her lease was up on her car or something. So like, I begged her, please buy my car for me. Like, I need to buy a cheap car. And she literally like thought I had lost my mind. Like, she was like, what are you doing? Like, stop. She's like, this is too much. Like, this is too drastic, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you know, whatever.
Again, the reasonable one in the exchange between you and her.
Like, now looking back, I'm like, oh, I should have listened to her, you know? But yeah, so she did. She bought the car back from me. Yeah, she was just like so sweet. She totally bought the car back from me. And I bought like this little, oh my goodness, like roll up window, like just old car that barely worked. But I was like, you know what? I'm doing this for Jesus. You know, like I was I am just, it was just so bizarre. And so from there, I was working as a behavior therapist. I ended up switching to, I was a teacher for a couple years and I had summers off. And so I started traveling I started working for a missions organization. And so I was traveling all this, like, you know, the whole summer. I would leave, like, the second I would, you know, finish for the school year, I would leave for the whole summer and then I'd come back, teach, and then leave again for the summer. So that was sort of like my thing. And
so
then
you're probably like in the leadership at this point too, right?
Yeah. And it was so fast, right? Yeah.
Well, because anyone that wants to volunteer, exactly. They're like, come on. Gotcha.
Yeah. They're like, oh,
if you're
great,
like passionate about it. Yeah. And you're right. Principled and yeah. You're like raring to go. Yeah. You're suddenly an elder immediately.
Exactly. Exactly. And because I had like that experience, like it was just like, oh, you know, she came from a life of sin, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
So it was just that sort of like,
did you tell that story often?
Oh, that was just my like thing. Like, you know, like
your personality. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's something appealing about like a clean narrative and structure of a testimony where it's like, I was like this. And
yeah.
Now I'm like,
yeah,
this,
exactly.
And it's different.
And it's like, I know it's totally like, easy to tease now, but that really was your story at the time. You know, like it really was a big shift in your life.
Totally.
So like what other narrative would you make out of it?
Yeah.
You know, besides like God came and changed my entire life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember I was like a hyper Calvinist at this time because I'm like, God Ooh. Chose me.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't choose Jesus. Like it was just it was hilarious. And so from there, so I was traveling and then one day I remember I was sitting in Portland, Oregon, and I was like, I had just like led a mission trip or whatever. And so I have a couple days off and I was like, I'm not going back to work. I was like, I'm just going to keep doing this. So I literally call my boss and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going back. And she was like, what? You know? And I was like, sorry, you know? And I was like, I'm just going to follow the spirit, you know, like one of those things. Yeah. And so from there, I had, you know, some money saved up from working and all that. So I just took off and I traveled for a year. I just backpacked through Peru and Italy by myself. And I would just visit different like friends that were serving in different countries. And I would just like, hey, maybe I'll live here, you know? And so I would just show up in random countries.
How old are you at the time?
I was 25.
Okay.
Were you welcome? Like, were they so excited? Or
yeah, like I would let them know, hey, I'm going to visit. I would show up and then I would stay for a couple weeks and then I'd move on to the next city. And I'd just, you know, I was like hostel hopping or like things like that.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was great.
Caroline's, we see a thought bubble coming from Caroline's head of her doing
divorce papers being signed.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. You could just say, I'm going on a vacation.
For a year?
You don't have to divorce your husband.
I really want to be free.
Experience Europe.
Never.
Haven't you seen the Lizzie McGuire movie?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyways, wow, this is like a big year for you.
Yeah, yeah.
What were you saying at the time? You're like, I'm trying to like vision cast for where I'm going to be serving God the rest of my life. Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, yeah. I was like, I'm going to be a missionary, sort of thing. Yeah. So I did that for about a year, and then I came back, and I was just like, now what? You know, because I would leave somewhere and then I would come home and I was like, meh, I don't think I'm going to move there. You know, like there was nothing that like caught my like whatever attention or to stay. And then I went on a bachelorette party in New Orleans. And I, it's actually kind of funny because now looking back, I remember I got there early. My friends were getting there at night and I got there in the morning. And so I had like my little backpack because back then I would only travel with like little backpack. And so
there's nothing, this is Christian, but like minimalism.
Minimal. Yeah.
Yeah. No possessions. Yeah. Chapstick. I was going to ask you, you might be getting to this, but I was going to ask you like what your old friends thought of you and how you talked to them. I'm sure it was different. I was one of these people at one time, so I know.
Yeah, yeah. So that was also, that was weird. I mean, I couldn't talk to them anymore, you know? And it's really sad. Like now looking back, I'm like, dang, you know, I was actually in Miami this past weekend and there was a few friends and I'm like, I want to like reach out to them and be like, hey, I'm not crazy anymore, you know? Like, can we talk?
There's no easy way to communicate that.
I have an idea. You send a video of yourself taking a shot.
Yeah.
Just as like a,
so you give it a
like,
thumbs up. This is me.
I liked that.
I'm back. No.
I feel like that's something you've done.
No. Anyway, okay, sorry. So you're in New Orleans with your backpack.
Yeah, and so I was like, I got on a bus and I was like, where? Take me to the French Quarter. I was like, what bus is going to take me to the French Quarter? So I show up at the French Quarter. Mind you, like this is like the height of my like just fundamentalist evangelicalist self, right? So I get off the bus and I'm pretty much, I get off the bus, I walk a little bit and I'm on Bourbon Street. And I just remember, I mean, it was like 10 a.m. Everyone was wasted. There was like strip, you know, bar after strip bar. And I'm like, oh, this is it. Like, I have to move to New Orleans because I need to be a missionary.
You felt
here.
Called to New Orleans. Yes.
I'll be the one.
Yes. Yes. So that night, so I, you know, I got back and I was just like, I need to live here. I want to move here. And I was just like obsessed with this idea of moving to New Orleans. So I moved back. I mean, I go back to Miami when the weekend's over and I was like, well, what am I going to do there? Like, what excuse do I have to move to New Orleans? So I'm like, oh, there's a seminary there. Mind you, at this point, I still know nothing. I was so ignorant when it comes to just general Christianity. Like, I only thought that SBC megachurch was like the only way to be Christian, you know, like I didn't, mm-hmm. I wasn't yeah, exposed sure. to anything. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, great. Seminary. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't know that there's like a difference. Like I just, let me just go there. So I call my friends. Like after, this was like maybe a couple weeks later, I apply, I get in, it was quick. I literally sit my friends down and I'm like, hey, I'm moving. And they're like, wait, what? Like where? And I was like, New Orleans, I'm leaving in 2 weeks. So then, yeah, they were like,
goodness.
Yeah, it was just very drastic.
Were so, they excited for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know? they were happy that it was New Orleans and not like just some random place. Sure. Like, you know, because I had been everywhere at this
that there
point.
Was a major airport.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a big draw. Yeah.
Yeah, so then I just, I mean, about a month and a half later, I just packed up my stuff. I ended up getting my car back, my Kia Optima that I had sold to my mom. Yeah, because the other one I crashed, or someone crashed into me, whatever, it was totaled. So I get my car
you
back.
You breathed on it a little too hard one time.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So I moved to New Orleans. And so that was sort of, because I was still so new to this whole Christianity thing and still trying to figure it out, you know, as I'm there, I remember my first week there, I had like a sort of another like, what am I doing here? Because imagine, I'm Cuban from Miami, from a huge city. I was a little older than most of the people there because, you know, they had just come straight from, like, undergrad or whatever. So everyone's, like, early 20s. At this point, I'm, like, 26. And I'm, like, you know, I'm a little older and I had just traveled for a year. And I'm, I don't know, just, like, a Latina. Like, I'm just, you know, different than a lot of people in the deep, 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 deep South. Mm-hmm. So my first week there, I was like a deer in headlights. Like, you know, people didn't know what to do with me. I didn't know how to act. Like, it was just a weird thing.
There was a legitimate culture shock.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Was it like the language they or the way they would like saw the world? And then on top of it, like all the racial parts, too.
Yeah.
Like, how is it? Because you it's not like you didn't know what evangelicals were like or anything, you know?
Yeah, I think it was because so I was exposed to once I, you know, started getting involved in like the whole Christian culture in Miami, all my friends were still Latino and Latina. Like they were all still, you know, and so, you know, it was just different the way we interacted. And a lot of them, because, you know, Miami isn't a super churched area, a lot of them had the same story I did, you know?
Yeah.
So I wasn't like, you know, I mean, yeah, I was like one of those that had like the whatever story, but like it wasn't weird that people party in Miami. Like everybody does. Like it wasn't weird, you know, whereas I'm in like the subculture of the subculture of the subculture of Christianity, and people didn't have that background, you know, like it was just very different, you know?
So it's almost like you would share your testimony or something. They'd say, and so
in like Miami,
that,
you mean
that wasn't a shocking thing.
Yeah.
Coming from a lifestyle like that. Whereas in the place that you grew up in, it was formative. It was like, wow.
She
got brought out of such darkness all that stuff.
Yeah. And so it was just weird, you know, and I realized like, it's funny because I was thinking, I'm like, I don't think I ever had like a white friend until I moved to New Orleans. Like I just never, that was just nothing. I wasn't used to that, you know, that culture, or just white culture in general, especially like Southern Baptist seminary, like subculture, like I keep, you know, the just extreme.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was just a very weird time for me. And so it just so happened that I met my husband there. And so he was someone that I was able to work through that with. And like, you know, and he comes from like small town Arkansas, but he was always one of those like dreaming of the big city. Like he loves living in LA now because he was always like wanting to move to a big city. And so we would kind of, you know, I was just like working through it. Like, am I crazy? Like, why do I feel crazy? Like, I feel like such an outsider, you know? And then I just, and because, so, you know, growing up in Miami, I was raised by a single mom and a single grandmother. And so I mean, they never taught me anything about women's, like, role or, like, oh, you know, like, that
wasn't...
Yeah,
there wasn't, like, a person there to be complimentarian to or complimentarian to.
Yeah. So it was just, like, just do what you got to do. I mean, you know, you lead, you do whatever. Like, it wasn't even, like, a thing, you know?
Yeah, because I was going to ask what your understanding of women's roles in the church or God-ordained blah, blah, blah was up until that point.
I mean, I didn't really think about it. Like, I just...
It's a non-issue, yeah.
Yeah, like, it wasn't even, like, a thing, like, you know. And then, you know, I'm in my classes, and I'm just being myself, like, I have an opinion, like, a human, you know? Like, I'm just like, oh, is it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was very much so. I mean, like, of course, all white male professors, so all of them were like, excuse me, you know, like, they wouldn't shut me up when I would ask a question, but, like, they would make sure at the end of every class or, like, during class to, like, make a comment about a woman's role or, like...
Wow, really?
Yeah, it was just very... Yeah, it was very...
And did it feel like it was about you?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, it was very clear. Like, I feel like it was... Not all of them. I'm not going to say every professor in every class, but there were some that it was very obvious because I was just very outspoken and I don't know, because I didn't think about it, you know? So, so that was like, you know, that kind of started happening. And then, so my, I guess back then, you know, we were dating. So my husband and I, we were at a church and there was a group of young girls. And so I was like, oh, you know what? Like, let me, because back then I was really into, like, discipleship, right? So, like, let me disciple them. So I literally got together with them and started reading the Bible with them. And literally the pastor was like, you didn't ask for my permission. Like, you were being unsubmissive.
What?
Yeah, it was bad. Like, it was just constant.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it was a whole thing with the church. And I rose hell. Like, I was like, excuse me? You know, and I remember we met at a coffee shop with one of the pastors. It was him and the worship pastor. And I'm, like, yelling at him, throwing my Bible. Like, he literally did not know what to do. Because they're not used to, you know, like,
you'd be
excuse
like,
me. You know? Wait, no.
Just misspicking out on them.
Yeah, like, I was just like, what? And I remember, like, I met with
both. I mean, did a part of you think, like, oh, maybe I am wrong.
Yeah.
This should be my role, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
Even though it was, like, contrary to your entire. Well, and the other part of this, too, is when you're, like, a single woman as a missionary, everyone's like, whatever you want to do, do it. You know, like, you're allowed to be a pastor in any capacity, basically. Like, no one cares.
No one cares, yeah. It was just crazy. So, and I kept getting, you know, like, in instances like that with a lot of men that were there, you know, they just couldn't handle the fact that, I don't know, it just was existing and just being a human. You know what I mean? Like, and it was, like, intrusive or it was too much. And so that was it was a hard time because, I thought, is it me? Is it me? And, you know, and I was, like, literally, like, there would be nights where I was just sobbing, like, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
And then... So in the whole process, I'm getting married. So that's a whole other thing. Like, what's my role in marriage? Because I'm hearing all this stuff of, like, oh, you know, in marriage, your husband needs to lead and all that. And, you know, it didn't make any sense to me. Mm. And so I was just like, well, you know what? I'm just going to study the Bible and see what I get. And so I just started. And at this point, I'm taking, you know, I had learned Greek already. So I was like, I'm going to go hardcore into this. Like, you know, the quote, right way, you know, the way that they would agree with that I'm going to do this biblically, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny because I sat there and it took me about a month and I started, like, my own personal, like, research paper. And I was, like, 30 pages in. I started with Genesis and I'm there.
Was this,
like,
for fun? This was a personal, like, research paper
for your
for
own
fun?
Proof, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Like,
I
for
know
my
this
own
makes
proof.
Sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm not crazy. Like, it was like, so I can prove to myself that I'm not crazy and that I'm not, like, because I'm still in that mindset so that I'm not, like, a heretic or whatever.
Yeah,
because, you know?
Like, the Bible is always the right one. So I have to at least find out what it's trying to say or agree with it before I make my opinion or something.
Well, and I think, too, when you're – I think this is true of a lot of things that aren't to do with religion as well. But I think when you're in your 20s and you're just growing up and maturing, anything that bumps with something that you feel in a core or very personal way, there's always this weird – kind of micro decision you have to make or macro decision of is this just a part of growth and growth is painful and I do need to grow or is this wrong? And so, and especially I think that's a really confusing mid to late 20s conversation that a lot of us find ourselves in with that stuff.
And then in the church, it's mixed with, like, is it my sinful heart telling me this or the Holy Spirit telling me this? You know, there's only two ways I can interpret that.
Yeah. Like, am I rebellious? You know, like, yeah, totally. No, you're so right. And so, it was just a really confusing, hard time. And I, you know, and
what was your fiance / husband's opinion about that stuff at the time?
He was sort of like on the same boat, you know, because that never made sense to him either. His mom, he was raised by a single mom too, so he also didn't have that sort of dynamic at home.
It really falls apart when it's just a single mom. Yeah. Like, it really doesn't work at all, because she's all the roles she has to be, you know, like, and a single dad, same way. It's so funny.
Well, it's not ideal, but there are some cases in which I guess it kind of worked out.
Okay, so you're
but
making
the research
this up.
Shows. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, exactly. So he was just sort of like, yeah. And then, and I remember I was taking a Greek exegesis course, and we're walking, it was the Book of Acts. And so I'm walking through the Book of Acts, and I'm learning about, you know, Paul interacting with all these women and all these things, and like Priscilla and like, you know, all this stuff, and Phoebe. And he at the same time was taking a church history course. And so he's learning about all these women in history that are, you know, were overlooked or, like overlooked right now in our conversations. But yeah, they did huge things. And so we're both sort of like at the same time going through this. And So yeah, I just started my own little manifesto. Like, I just was like, I'm going to figure this out.
Were you reading any, like, feminist theologians too at all? That's so, yeah, that's interesting.
Which is insane.
But I'm like, of course you weren't, you know?
Yeah, because I didn't know any.
But I'm so, like, proud of you that you still came to the same conclusion.
Right?
Yeah, because this is a lot easier of a thing to do when there is some modicum of affirmation that you can get outside of yourself.
Yes.
Like, well, Rachel Held Evans said this, so I think I'm not crazy.
It's totally a pass.
But doing it by yourself is, a lot more bold in a lot of ways.
Like, I didn't know anyone. And so actually one of the helpful things, though, is in one of my classes, I had to read a book by Ben Witherington, which he's like super like conservative, you know, white evangelical. But he is an egalitarian, so he does believe in women and leadership and all that. Mm. He's Methodist, I believe. But we had to read his book for a class, and my professor was actually disagreeing with a lot of his theology, but he wanted us to read it to sort of disagree with him. And one of his chapters was, you know, complementarianism isn't complementary. And so I remember as I'm going through this, I find this chapter, because it wasn't even assigned to us, it was just in the book. And I'm like, oh, you know, like someone in this seminary, you know, like that they told us to read, you know. And so I, you know, that was like super helpful for me. And so little things like that. And so that sort of started my journey. And so at one point, this is going on for a few months. I'm doing my own little personal manifesto and still going to class, still doing all my stuff. I was still a behavior therapist at this time, part time. And I'm sitting in class one day. And a professor says something about, he goes off on a tangent about how, you know, it's very important to learn Greek and Hebrew because whatever, whatever. And I'm here like, oh, yeah, you know, I agree, whatever. You know, if you're going to be a leader in the church, sure, you should know it, you know, and I'm sort of agreeing. And then he's like, and ladies. So after he says that, I realize, okay, so he wasn't talking to me. So like, what does he think? Why the hell am I here? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you don't think that it's important for me. So then he goes, and ladies, mind you, there's like three women in the class. So clearly, like, you know. And he goes, and he goes, and ladies, your husbands will be really impressed with you if you can exegete alongside them.
That's on my Tinder bio. It is.
Exegete,
like, looking for someone who loves adventure, loves eating good food, and exegeting the shit out of the Bible.
Wow. Yeah. That's so so painful to me now. It has no effect on me, you know, in my life. But that's just like, that makes me so mad. Because it's just like, it was purely like as a support and like an impressive, you know, like skill you have. Like you can type his letters.
It's like telling a dog, like, if you roll over and play fetch, your master will give you
pets. Because you all are taking the same classes.
I'm in the same freaking class.
You're taking all the same papers. Like, it's not, you're not doing it for like
just, you know, to impress my husband.
Marriage skills.
Oh my gosh, it was so crazy.
Did the other two girls, women, like, have a reaction that you know of?
I don't think so. Mm. I mean, I'm sure they were, like, used to hearing that,
right?
You know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kind of was like, what? And then, like, you could see it on my face. And then he goes, "This is where it gets worse." He looks at me and he goes, "Right, cat."
Oh,
like straight right. And I just was like, you know, when your pit, like when the pit of you, when you get like a in your pit, and I'm like, and then he goes, "Oh yeah, but Taylor, you know," he's like, "but Taylor knows Hebrew, right?" And I was like, like, your, I just kind of like, my husband. And I'm like, That night I got home and I said, "We gotta go, like, we're leaving."
Wow.
And within a month we were gone.
Wow.
Like, we had sold everything. We just packed my car and we left. Well, at this point we were already married. So yeah, it was like throughout the whole time of like this whole personal manifesto, I think that was like, I mean, we got married kind of quick. So it was like that sort of like, we just got married and then that happened. And then I was like, and we hadn't even been married that long. But we're like, we got to go. And then, so from there, you know, we did a little bit of traveling and all of that. And then, then we ended up at over here. We just went as far west as we can go.
Welcome. What was appealing to Fuller besides like the reputation of it being a place where women aren't super marginalized in like a direct way?
Yeah. I would say that was the main thing. Mm-hmm. That was the main thing. And then also, you know, throughout all of this is I was working, I was doing part-time stuff with Tulane University, and it was like right before the whole election, and it was nasty. I mean, a lot of my students were Mexican, a lot of my students were, you know, Latinas, and they were being harassed by a lot of like white fraternities, just horrible, horrible. And then so I was experiencing this on one end, you know, in Tulane, and seeing these young kids get harassed by like literally white supremacy and just, you know, whatever. And then I would go to class and like literally the people sitting in my class are wearing Trump hats. You know what I mean? And it was just the weird, like, what? Like, what? You know?
Yeah.
And so that was also happening, you know? And so when we decided to leave. And so I think it was that also just being in a blue state. I think we just needed to get out of that, you know? That's why we were like, we need to go as west as we can go. So just politically and being a woman, you know, and then being a woman of color, you know, being a Latina woman, like I was the only one, you know, maybe there was another one, but like, yeah, that was it, you know? So coming here, it was just incredible being around other people that, you know, are like me. Yeah. So
did you still retain some of your maybe like Calvinist or more conservative things? Did that like kind of bump up with where you were at Fuller at all?
No, because I had already been sort of getting away from that for a while. Yeah. Like it wasn't, you know, I was just sort of stuck there. But we had already been like, no, you know. But again, I hadn't been exposed to much of Christianity. Like that was the only thing I knew. So, you know, it was sort of a personal sort of journey. Then, you know, coming here, it was just one of those things where finally I'm being exposed to other kinds of Christianity. Like Christianity doesn't have to look like this way or, sure, you know. So, no, I wasn't really like, it wasn't really difficult to do that. And everything, so my whole journey just happened really fast, right? Like, it wasn't a whole lifelong thing. I mean, it happened within, you know, 8 years, 9 years. Yeah. Like, it was all just quick. Mm-hmm.
So you felt, like, mm-hmm, malleable a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I was able to change where things led me to, yeah.
And especially that, like, I came to the faith as an adult. Mm-hmm. So it's very different, you mm-hmm know? Like, there wasn't as much to undo or redo. Like, I was just an adult. Like, I got it, you know?
Yeah.
So once I was able to, once I was exposed to something different, I was like, okay, cool, yeah. Like, you know? Like, I was just, all right.
Oh, with the bunches.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
So sort of where have you landed now?
As far as
faith and that spectrum and
we have so many guests on the show that aren't Christians that it is kind of shocking when it's like, wait, so you believe stuff?
You're still in this?
Yeah, but I feel like your answer could still be different, you know, or unexpected.
So I mean one thing that I did so that moment, that like Hillsong weekend or whatever, I would say that I did have an experience with God. Like, I'm not going to deny that. I do believe that I had an experience with God. And I mean, sure, I'm sure it was manipulated by a lot, you know, by so much around me, but it stuck, right? Mm-hmm. And there was something about that and just the person of Jesus, and it just stuck. And I think that's kind of what has carried me through. You know, we took a break from church and we sort of just needed to heal and just all the crap that, you know, I had just had to deal with. And so it was we did have to step away for a little bit, but I mean, I remember back then, like, reading the Bible and it making sense. Not all of it, but the general message. I understood it because I read it as an adult. Like, I get what you're trying to get at, love. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, I understood that. And so I think, you know, now it's just a matter of, you know what? Like, there's a lot that we don't know and there's a lot that we're not going to know. And I think that's okay. And just stop trying to have to figure it all out all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of my thing. And I still love the Bible. I mean, I think it's a fascinating book. Like, reading it correctly and right and in context and understanding what's going on, I think it's a cool book. There's great stories, mm-hmm. you know, like there's great. And it has, I don't think it necessarily has, like, it's not like every little thing you read, you have to apply it to your life. Like, some of it, you just read it like you would read it anything else, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that just having a healthy relationship with that and with others and with people of other faiths. And so, yeah, so I'm sort of in that, you know, I mean, I still love the Bible and I'm one of those, like, I want to get to know Paul. Like, I understand Paul's a hot mess, you know? So I'm sort of like,
Paul's like your token conservative friend where it's like, it's good that I know this guy.
Yeah, we need to have a dialogue. Sometimes.
Yeah. Like, if the two sides never talk to each other, we never get anything done. Well, because I really connect with that. This is something we've talked about on Second Service a little more when we have like our honest Bible study episodes. But I want to get to a place in my adult life where I have a good relationship with the Bible too.
Yeah.
Because I think right now, Caroline and I are a little scared of the Bible in some ways. And
it's so loaded.
It feels loaded. Yeah. It can feel like a weapon. It can feel like a disappointed authority figure and symbol and statue in a lot of ways. So, so it's a thing that I think will take a really long time to reconcile. But
100%.
But it's good to have people like you who are active in the community and in positions of authority and voices. Like, for example, your podcast. Talk about your podcast a little bit and what you do on the show.
Yeah, so my podcast, I basically just chat with women of color in church leadership and theology because, you know, they have been just marginalized voices in the church and just overlooked and voices. And so we sort of just talk about, hey, so what's been your journey, you know? And so we just have conversations about that. And what has it been like as a Latina woman, you know, being a pastor? Like, one of my guests, she was a Latina woman pastor in Arkansas, you know? Ooh. Like, so yeah, so what was that like?
Yeah. I mean, could have been amazing. It could have been fine. I don't know. I'm stereotyping.
Yeah. But like, what was that? Or, you know, like, what is it like to be a Korean woman, you know, writer, speaker, you know, whatever. And so that's what we do on The Protagonistas. And so it's a lot of fun. And it's a lot of us are going through that journey, right? I mean, you guys aren't alone. Like, yeah. And I think because the Bible has been weaponized and used and taught, not been learned or understood or taught in a right way, you know, like, it's not taught that there are different genres and some of it is poetry. Yes. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
come
it's
on.
It's not all Emmanuel.
Yeah. Like, you can enjoy it if you just, oh, this is a beautiful poem. Cool. Move on. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be. And I think that, yeah, that's sort of like my, I don't know, I'm kind of passionate about that, like, kind of, you know, undoing and redoing and liberating and that aspect of it. Because look, at the end of the day, the Bible's not going anywhere. People are still going to be using it in all sorts of types of Christianity. They're going to be using it for good, for evil, for all sorts of things. So if we can, you know, kind of have a movement of like resistance against using the Bible, you know, as a weapon and just, you know, try and read it and use it in a healthy way, then I think, you know, it can be a good thing.
That'd be cool. Hey, well, I'm glad you're doing that good work.
Thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah.
We're going to talk more about the Bible after the break, but we're going to take a break first and pay the bills, maybe, if we have an ad this week.
Pay Papa.
We'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I
first
agree.
Month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the game. Come on, let's go. Now, we were talking via email about Christian culture stuff. Do you have any relationship with any Christian culture at all? Any of the music and stuff?
Besides having Hillsong Sweat on you directly?
Yeah, during Sheck's guitar pick.
Maybe the last 6 years, you know, like my husband and I were just laughing about, we were laughing at, you know, just the Passion soundtrack and all like the, mm-hmm. you know, Chris Tomlin and all that. So, you know, we always make jokes about that, but that's pretty much it.
So it's mostly like contemporary worship
yeah.
stuff that you're more
yeah.
into. Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know much else. So.
I feel like with contemporary worship stuff, I know a lot, but I don't know the names of any of the songs.
Yeah.
Contemporary worship has essentially replaced what the radio was probably
okay,
for
yeah.
generations past, where it's like, yeah, blue suede shoes, I think. I don't know if it's called that. Well, in light of that, let's do a game that doesn't necessarily require a lot of knowledge of Christian pop culture, but does require knowledge of the Word.
The Holy Scriptures?
The Holy Scriptures. This is a game called Word or Nerd. The Word was, and
the Word is, and the Word was. That was headbanging right now.
It's a song called The Word by Sarah Groves, a CCM artist. So the way this game works, and by the way, I did initially call it Word or Turd.
I like
but
that
then,
one better.
Cool. But then I started putting sound effects to it that were too realistic and I didn't enjoy it.
Were you recording your ass?
No! No.
Can I have those recordings?
Yes. No, I'll send you the YouTube links. Okay, good. No, I think Word or Nerd is a little... I don't like turd stuff as much as you do, unfortunately.
I understand. That's okay. I don't think anyone does.
Yeah, I think that's true. So the way this works mm-hmm. is I'm going to read 3 scripture passages to you both.
Okay.
3 passages of scripture. And we're going to do this in three rounds, kind of how we did WoW or Now.
Okay.
Where it's going to be your turn, then your turn, your turn, your turn. We'll do that in three rounds. And each round will be worth 25 points, 50 points, and then eventually 100 points in the last round.
Okay,
cool.
Here's the catch. I'm reading scripture passages from the Message translation. And one of them is a passage I made up and wrote. If you can correctly identify which that is, you win the round.
Cool.
Does that sound?
That sounds great.
So each one, you made one up in each round.
Each round. Three. Okay. I will read three.
Got it.
One of them is mine.
Okay.
And you have to correctly identify.
Are you competitive?
Which one that is?
I can be.
Okay.
Damn. All right.
We'll just roll over now.
In honor of Caroline's segment, let's make this our score. Imagine Star-Lord dancing around while we play Word or Nerd.
I love when Star-Lord sang this song.
Oh, you think
by him,
you
right?
think he's singing it? Uh-oh. All right, let's get...
I'll keep score.
You'll keep score?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And we are operating on the Christian honor system. Okay, Caroline, here's your first three passages of scripture. From the Message, the first round, the theme is Proverbs.
Real quick, for those who don't know, the Message is a translation of the Bible that was put into, like, modern layman terms.
Very paraphrased.
Sometimes almost too modern.
Oh, yeah. It's almost a little thirsty
it's
from
funny.
Time to time,
okay, yeah.
Mr.
It's
Peterson. The first passage of Scripture. This is Proverbs.
Okay.
Here's the first one. An undisciplined, self-willed life is puny. An obedient, God-willed life is spacious.
Spacious.
It's number one. Number two, wise folks have to be careful that they don't trip. The foolhardy don't even look down at the ground.
Okay.
The third one, God cares about honesty in the workplace. Your business is his business. Which of these is
oh my
the
gosh,
nerd?
They're all so funny.
And I'm the nerd, and I wrote.
You're
it.
The nerd, yeah. Okay. And the turd.
Not, okay.
I'm gonna guess number two is the turd.
Caroline.
Yeah.
You are right.
That yeah.
Was the turd.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome.
What was it? The tripping one.
Yep.
Okay.
That's from the Book of Kevin, 4:20. First one is Proverbs 15:32. Third one is Proverbs 16:11, allegedly.
Great.
All right, it's time for Kat. 25 points on the board for Caroline.
Sweet.
Kat, your first passage is, if you let people treat you like a doormat, you'll be quite forgotten in the end. The second passage, money and talent are trash to God. He wants your hugs and kisses. The third passage is, when you've stuffed yourself, you refuse dessert. When you're starved, you could eat a horse.
I think the third one is like a real one.
They're
so.
Also like benign. Okay.
The what?
They're also like benign and cute.
The thing is that the second one sounds so ridiculous that I want to say it to you, but I'm almost like,
Could be
that,
a trick.
Yeah, is yeah. that a trick?
Can you think of the real Bible verses that these are based on?
I'm trying, but...
Are you, how familiar are you with Proverbs? Pretty familiar?
I mean...
It's only 31 books. Or chapters,
just,
rather.
I mean, it's such so anecdotal, you know?
Right.
You're just kind of like, meh, you know?
Those
like, snippies. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Wise men be like.
Yeah.
Foolish men be like.
Whores be like. True story.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty rough on women.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go with the second one.
Second one, Kat.
I was wrong.
You are right.
Oh, I'm right.
Yeah, I forgot to change that one. That was a placeholder, and then I read it cold on the air. Whoops.
Wait, what did it say again?
It said, hugs and kisses. Money and talent are trash to God. He wants your hugs and kisses.
Hugs and kisses feels like the Kevin Stamp.
Come on. All right, round two.
So funny. This one's our 50 points now?
Yeah, these okay. are 50 points, so the music gets a little more intense.
Okay. This is the battle scene in...
This is the Avengers main
five.
Theme.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Avengers man? Okay. Doesn't exist.
Scripture verse number one. God delights in keeping secrets. We delight in finding them out. Number two. A parent is worn to a frazzle by a stupid child. A nagging spouse is a leaky faucet. And number three, as a dog eats its own vomit, so fools recycle silliness. Which of these is the nerd?
Oh, damn. I know the second one is real.
Okay. Because it said something about being a nagging
wife. Well,
I've
heard that dripping, yeah. For that dripping faucet one so many times.
From Nate.
Yeah, and I love it. I'm going to guess number three is the nerd.
Caroline?
Yeah.
It is not the nerd.
No!
It's God delights in keeping secrets. We delight in finding them out.
But that was good. I'll give you that one.
Thank you.
That one was
I was trying to be trickier.
Yeah, you were tricky.
I did change it from God delights in keeping little secrets.
That would have given it away.
Makes him sound like a little prankster. Like Loki. All right, Kat. Okay. Round two for you. Here's a first verse. Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you want junk like that in your belly? Number two, if you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place.
Wow, that's harsh.
And then three, worship from the young is like honey to God. He wants their hearts every hour of the day.
Can you repeat number one?
From the young.
Number one is listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you want junk like that in your belly?
I'm going to go with that one.
That one's the nerd?
Yeah.
Kat, that is not the nerd.
It was the second one?
It was the third one.
The third
Worshipful
one.
From the young is like honey to God. He wants their hearts every hour of the day.
Wow.
That is from the book of Kevin, chapter 9, verse 11. All right, so still
Kevin.
25 and 25?
Yeah.
It's still tied.
Yeah, we're both tied.
So this one's like the winning one. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
win.
I hope you both don't get it because I don't have a tiebreaker. Caroline, the theme now is the Psalms.
The Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, the book in which David busted the ghosts of his own emotions.
Okay, damn. Get back in that book. Busted the ghosts.
All right, here we go. First verse. These are passages. These are like multiple verses, but
a little bit of
it's
story.
Small. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Number one, God's glory is on tour in the skies. God craft on exhibit across the horizon. Madam Day holds classes every morning. Professor Knight lectures each evening. This is number two. My God, my number one. It is you whose voice I just can't get enough of. Everything in my life goes back to you. You are my first, my last, my everything. And number three, please God, no more yelling. No more trips to the woodshed. Treat me nice for a change. I'm so starved for affection.
Oh my God.
Who are you gonna call?
Oh my gosh. I want it to be number three because I can't believe that would be in the Message Bible. Trips to the woodshed? I'm going to say that's the nerd.
Caroline?
Yeah?
It is not the nerd.
Oh, which one was it?
The nerd is my God, my number one.
Oh, that
it's you whose voice
guess.
I can't get enough of everything in my life. You're my first, my last, my everything is a Barry White song.
Damn. Okay. Just,
the chorus
Kat,
of
your,
my everything.
It's yours to win.
All right. All right. Let's see how we do. All right. Number one. Who is this King Glory God, armed and battle ready? Wake, you sleepy city. Wake up, you sleepy head people. King Glory is ready to enter. Two. They put poison in my soup, vinegar in my drink. Let their supper be a bait in a trap that snaps shut. May their best friends be trappers who skin them alive. Make them become blind as bets. Give them the shakes from morning to night. And number three, woe to the hecklers. Punch these bullies in the face. Grab a sword, anything. Get on up. Get ready to throw it all. Reassure me. Let me hear you say, I'm yours.
Ooh. Wow. That's hard. You did a good one.
You did a good one.
All right. I'm going to go with The second one.
The second one? Cat?
What?
It is not the nerd. Oh, wow. It's number three. Number two is Psalm 69, verses 21 through 23. Wow. They put poison in my soup.
There's a snake in my boot. Wow. Eugene Peterson is shaking right now, Kevin. Good job.
He's not moving at all. Yeah. To be clear, if he's shaking, it's rigor mortis. Gives them the shakes from morning to night.
That's like a real one. That's the real one.
That's the real one.
Wait, wow. Which was the one you wrote again?
That's what threw me off. The shakes.
Harass these bullies.
Oh, I thought that might have been it.
I did a brief punch up on it because the original was harass these hecklers, punch these bullies in the nose. That is the message, though.
So crazy.
Yeah, I just punched it up
a
little
bit. Yeah, it's like that.
That's funny.
Well, we all tied. Right.
Well, yep.
We tied.
It was a very egalitarian game.
Yep.
Because you both finish equal.
Yeah. Meaning, but yeah.
Despite your different educations. You have a bachelor's in communication.
Bullshit. In English.
Oh, in English?
Yeah.
That's ironic. For someone that seems to have such a...
What? No, say it.
No. No, it's okay.
No, say it.
When we do our ad reads, I'm not like, I'm working with an English major over here.
Okay, it's not speech writing. It's not public discourse.
That's true.
I'm tucked away in the library with my Jane Austen.
When's the last time you read
Jane
Austen?
Lack of loud redheads in my ear.
All right, this has been Word or Nerd or Turd. The word or words. Yeah. Doesn't this song sound cool? This was like a song. It was like a big hit on CCM radio in like 2000 or 2001.
Word was.
And the word is.
That's great.
And the word will be. There's one part of the song that I can never get out of my head. Let me see if I can find it. Because it's like, it's legit insane. Oh yeah, here it is.
I've never heard this.
Word is the new word.
That's what gets
the old word. Is the new word.
Just that loop.
It happened at a formative time in my life. That's why. All right. Sorry for getting so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So bothered up.
I hit a nerve.
No, it's okay. Hey, you know what? I do believe you're an English major. I think you're a very smart person.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome. You read more than I do. I barely read any books.
No, you don't.
What?
I know you don't.
Yeah.
But you read, you're like reading all day on Twitter.
I read captions on IG. Oh, boy. Well, Kat, this is the part of the show where we don't promote ourselves or plug our stuff. We lift it up to the Lord. It's a humble and loving sacrifice. We don't laugh about it. That's not part of it. That's disrespectful. Isn't that right, Kat?
Yes, you are right.
Thank you.
You see his face on my face transposed.
Kat.
Isn't that right? So we'll start with Caroline.
You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts on Twitter and Instagram. And this week I'll lift up the movie where my bumper came from. It's a movie called Funny Face with Audrey Hepburn and an ancient Fred Astaire. It is probably one of her most mismatched pairings, and she had a lot. She's always with these like old men in her movies. But
that's like every time Jennifer Lawrence is with Bradley Cooper in one of those David O. Russell movies where it's like he's 15 years your senior.
Yeah, I think Fred Astaire was like 55 and she was 25 or something insane.
That's kind of a comforting thought that Hollywood has always been disgusting.
Yeah, always. Yeah.
At least they're consistent.
Yes. But it is a great movie. It's a musical.
I think we watched it together years ago.
We did. Yeah. That's right. It's kind of like her second sort of Pygmalion story where he plucks her out of a library, literally, and makes her a model. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's so bad.
What the hell?
She's like a really smart person and she just happens to be gorgeous.
Wait, should we cancel Fred Astaire?
Damn, I think we should.
Fred, you're canceled.
But it's a good movie. Yeah.
All right, Funny Face. All right, we turn to Kat.
So you can find me at Kat, that's K-A-T, underscore Armas, A-R-M-A-S. That is my handle for Twitter and Instagram as well. Nice. My website, katarmas.com. Also, my podcast, The Protagonistas.
Hey.
Yeah, you can find that on iTunes, Spotify, or any podcast app. And what am I lifting up? Oh my gosh, I haven't prepared anything.
Anything you're reading or
what's
just
the last thing you watched
like?
That you like really loved or enjoyed?
Ooh, you know what's a good one? The last two British comedy series that are on Netflix, End of the Effing World and Sex Education.
Sex Education, so friggin' good. Low key, that show rocks so hard. Good. I feel like a lot of people slept on it.
Yeah.
Did you connect to it as an educator yourself in some ways? It's a different subject matter, but you know, the Trinity is like sex. They're in relationship with each other.
But you know, I heard that. Like
really?
One of, yes, right?
Wait, the Trinity is
actually
like,
no, I've never heard
I've heard that.
That someone like, described as like a sexual bond.
Yeah, that
or,
it's like the highest form of worship because it's God and two people coming together.
It's the ultimate menage a trois.
Yeah, that I've heard.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sex. Oh.
Sex is like, you know, is like
not
God.
The Trinity is like sex. my interpretation. Which I don't know, guys. Does it have legs? What do you think?
I think so.
Thank you. Has six legs.
So yeah, I lift those up on Netflix.
Great.
Yeah.
Sex, you should watch it. You would
it's
like
really
Sex
good.
Education.
Yeah, I almost watched it the other night. I just started watching Umbrella Academy and like halfway through the first episode.
Is it good?
I feel like that's going to be a big time lift up for me, but I don't want to give an opinion yet.
Well, no, here's
what
I'm laughing because.
Gosh.
What? No, it's not negative, but it is fun because I edit the episodes too. It's always fun to hear. Whatever it is that the last guest we had on Lifting Up is
and then
always
I talk about
the thing
it.
Caroline talks about. We're just talking with your friends, and that's like word of mouth.
Yeah.
So it's not a dick, because
I know that's
Jacquees
like
last week.
Four rounds
did.
That happened. Yeah. And I'm reading Guy Branum's book.
Yeah.
And so
oh, it's
that's
great,
come
isn't
up
it?
Too. Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
And you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I'll lift up a podcast I've been enjoying a lot called Blank Check. Which is two buddies talking about movies. I had a few friends go on there as guests, and so I listened to their episodes, and I've just been binging it nonstop the last couple months. Wow. Caroline, it's the ultimate beep boop beep boop podcast, because they're just it's these two guys that just know a lot about like, well, what the cinematographer was going through at the time.
I'm
so
glad you
something
found
that
your
would
kid.
Not appeal to you at all.
Well,
those guys
tell.
Are funny, Griffin and David. Yeah, Griffin Newman. He hosts the podcast. He is the first actor, besides Mia Farrow, to disavow Woody Allen. He started the trend.
Oh,
he said, I'm in this movie that's coming out next year called A Rainy Day in New York. Never came out. It's the one starring Selena Gomez.
What year was this?
This was 2017.
Oh, okay.
It will probably never come out. It stars Timothée Chalamet, Selena Gomez, a mess of people. And everyone was like, yeah, I'll be in a Woody Allen movie. And then Griffin on Twitter later was like, I feel gross about this. I'm giving up my salary to Time's Up or whatever the charity was.
Oh,
and then it started this wave of like, everyone's like, oh, me too happened.
He can't have been the first actor to disavow Woody Allen.
Wow. He is. Okay. He absolutely is.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Huh.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
It feels like he shouldn't be.
I know.
But aside from his ex, Mia Farrow, he absolutely is the first one.
I guess there's a lot of people outside of acting that have disavowed him that are public.
Oh, yeah. I should have specified that appeared in one of his movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Jude Law is not out here saying like, oh, I regret it. Yeah. So, and he's great and very fun and funny.
Cool.
And they're two good friends. And I'll lift up a video I saw on YouTube. It's the Sesame Street puppets singing melodies from heaven. Rain down on me. Oh, I'll send it to you later, Kat.
Okay, so
it's
good.
A real hoot and a holler. Gospel music's great if you are thinking about getting into some Christian music in your adult life.
Man discovers gospel music. Near 30 white man discovers gospel music.
I'll send you some pretty cool tracks. They'll have you bumping in your Kia Sorento. Or whatever it is you're driving.
That's great.
You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun every week. We do another episode every Friday, a second service, if you will. And if you leave us a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, you help the show. And we need your help. We're slowly dying. We are 80 episodes old, and 80 is like average life.
It's old.
We need a life alert at this point.
But every review you leave, it's not just for us, it's for charity. We donate $1 to charity, and this month's charity is...
Camp Kesem. And a couple of you had recommended this. Camp Kesem is a camp where the children of current cancer survivors or cancer patients can come. They hang out, and it's usually led by college students who go and be counselors and just let them have fun for a week. Awesome. Yeah, and you can get involved, and you can donate to them. Camp Kesem. Check them out.
Awesome.
I had a lot of friends that did it in college, so I kind of knew about it.
Oh, that's how you got it, was a
word of mouth
really recommendation? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always nice when there's a personal anecdotal attachment. Kat, thank you so much for joining us on the show. What a great perspective and story
to
share.
Yeah.
And schooling us with your biblical knowledge on Word or Nerd. This is like our extended like Bible knowledge is like making fun of Eugene Peterson's weird verbiage in the message.
Since I kind of remember.
Yeah, exactly. And there's nothing left to say except for an off pod's people said, Amen. Man, I can't wait for next week when we do your wonderful Smarvelous.
Great.
This should be a whole episode where we do our rankings of all the...
See? Like a dream.
Let's make it a second service. It's fun. I love those movies,
too. I was thinking today, like, if I could... I kind of really would love to go through and watch all the Marvel movies again.
I would totally do it.
In
I would host it.
I would need to... No, I'm talking about, like, a marathon.
That's what I'm talking about.
I would need to take like 3 vacation days.
Yeah.
And go to town on
and
that.
4 boxes of diapers.
Yeah. A lot of diapers.
Well, I would put on a diaper with you and do it if you ever wanted
that's
to.
So nice.
I would even watch Iron Man 2 for my friend Caroline.
Is that a bad one?
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Iron Man 2?
Yeah.
Iron Man 2 is
not great.
No good.
Oh, okay.
That's the worst one.
Whatever.
We'll do it on second service later. We'll see you next week. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.